John chapter 21. Let's begin reading. I'm just going to read the first five verses. We're going to kind of go through a good portion of the chapter throughout the message tonight, but I'll read those verses kind of once we get to them. But let's start in chapter 21, verse number 1. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They saith unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. We'll go to verse number 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for Scripture, and thanks so much for this passage of Scripture, Lord, that we can learn to, Lord, just trust you. And when we're going through a tough time in our life, Lord, that you'll step in, Lord, and be there right for us just on time. And even when it doesn't make sense, Lord, I pray that we can learn from this passage, Lord, that we should trust you in those moments. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This part of Scripture, it's kind of funny when you read that. These experienced fishermen, it's what they do for a job. They are professional fishermen, but yet they're having no luck out there. And Jesus comes in and says, have you tried the other side? Try that side. And I imagine if you're a professional fisherman, you have tried every part around the boat, right? Everything around the ship, you have tried it in an entire day of fishing. If it's not working here, you move to a new spot. That's how fishing works. You go, does not go in here. Nothing's happening here. Let's keep going until you find the hot spot. And obviously, I'm sure they had already tried the right side of the boat, and Jesus tells them, try the right side of the boat. And they tried the right side of the boat and realized, whoa, you know what you're talking about. And they listened to him. It makes me think of, you know, my kids, when you're struggling with something and it's not working, and they try to tell you something, and it's like, I already tried that, okay? And I've had moments before where my kids will come up with something simple, and I'm like, no, it's harder than that. It's not the way. Okay. That's not how you do it. And my way is not working. And Jalen will come up, Dad, I think you do it like this. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. Stubborn dad, right? No, I know the best way. And I've had moments where I've been humbled, and I had to go back. All right, you were right about that. And my daughter Jalen, she loves when she can have those moments of telling me I'm wrong. I am not a tech person when it comes to fixing technology, like computers and all that kind of stuff. I open up a computer and I'm like, if I touch it, I'm going to mess it up. Or just anything with technology. But, you know, tech guys that know how to fix all that stuff, man, sometimes I think they're too smart for how to fix certain things. And I love stepping in and saying, have you unplugged it and plugged it back in? And we've done that before. The tech guys never think that's the answer, though. Never. It's too simple. It's too easy to fix. But man, it's hilarious sometimes. I'll step in. I have no other answer except for have you unplugged it and plugged it back in. And man, there's been moments where I got right and they unplugged it, plugged it back in. I walked away like I was the hero and I know what I'm doing. And then they came back for other help later on. Oh, guys, I don't know anything. If that doesn't work, I'm stooped. I'm done. I have no clue how to answer. I don't know how to move forward from this point forward. But these guys are fishing all day and they see no results, and then Jesus steps in and they see results. We had a deacon in our church in California. His name is Brother Eric, and he's one of the main families there. And Brother Eric is always up for an adventure. I mean, if someone's doing something fun, man, he wants to be a part of it. And man, we had some men at our church they'd do little fishing trips. Man, he always, if someone's going on a hunting trip or a fishing trip, he's not into hunting, he's not into fishing, but if someone else who's really good at it will take him, he wants to go. But on his own, he won't go fishing, he won't go hunting, he won't do any of those kinds of things on his own because he's just, I'm not good, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to go with those who are doing it. And so he's always finding different things to go on. But every time he goes on a fishing trip, I mean, some of the best fishermen that go all the time that he's gone with have the worst of luck. Every time he goes, it's terrible results. No fish, or they caught one fish in like 3 or 4 days, like terrible, like horrible. And he says, there's like a curse on me. And I told him, I said, man, you're a lot like those disciples. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, man, every time you go fishing, you come home with nothing but a testimony, man. Every single time. I'm like, if God calls you to be a fisherman, man, the fish supply in America is in real trouble, man. Cause I'm like, every time you go, and the one time you finally went and caught a ton of fish, and then he's just been rubbing it in everybody's face ever since. But he's never gone fishing again. He said, I'm retired from fishing. I'm done. I had good results. I imagine these fishermen after this were like, it's never going to get better than this. This is as good as it's going to get. But God, Jesus, this morning I'm preaching on, when Jesus steps into your worst day, when Jesus steps into your worst day, I imagine for these disciples, as a fisherman, this was one of their worst days they had ever experienced. And Jesus stepped in at the right time, when they needed him to, but they actually trusted him in that moment. And a lot of times Jesus will step into your worst day or your worst time in your life, and he's got the answer, but sometimes we're too smart for his answer. Or we think we know a better way or a better result, and we don't just trust what he tells us to do, and we end up going our own way, and we don't get the results like the disciples got. Some of the most powerful moments in life are not when everything is going right, but when everything has already gone terribly wrong. One of the hardest things for many believers isn't believing that God can use others again. It's believing he can still use us after our failures. We can beat ourselves up a lot of times over some things that we've done. And man, we struggle moving forward because of some mistakes that we've made in our life. And we think we can't move forward or we can't do anything good for God. But I love the Bible. You know why? Because it's a bunch of people who failed. It's a bunch of people who messed up. Man, we read about them. We read a lot of great things that they did and accomplished and the miracles that God used them to perform. But when we examine their life, we look at some big mistakes they made, some big failures that they made in their life. And you're like, wow, God still used them after that? I don't know about you, but it encourages me knowing, man, if God can use that person there after what they did, then man, he can still use me today. Peter's a very fun person to read about scriptures. Just the ups and downs of Peter. I would love to just get to meet Peter in his personality in heaven someday of what it was like when he was on earth, just to know how Peter was, because he just seems like a very just go after, I'm going here, I'm going there. If Jesus is over there, I'm running over there, I'm going. But he just gets himself in trouble all the time, or he says something all the time that he shouldn't say. And it's just constant. But Peter learned something this day that I think every one of us can learn. And I hope we can just dive into this chapter of chapter 21 of John and get something from it to help us, all right? Peter was a bold disciple. Remember, he was the one who walked on water. Remember that? He was the one who cut off the man's ear to protect Jesus. He was the one who promised loyalty unto death. And yet, Peter also became the one who cursed and denied the Lord. He became the one who quit the ministry for a season. The one who decided to return to fishing and not follow the Lord anymore. The one sitting on the shores of regret, wondering, can God still use me? Talking about the same person here. Man, we love consistency in our life. We love being around people who are just consistent, but it's impossible to be consistent 24/7, every single minute, every single day. We're human beings at the end of the day. We're not perfect. Peter was not perfect. And I think you and I can relate to him in this story here. In John chapter 21, the risen Christ steps into that moment, and he doesn't just rise from the grave. He rises to restore a discouraged, wounded disciple in Peter. Peter was discouraged. Why was he discouraged? He denied Christ. Jesus is dying on the cross. And who's followers of Christ? Hey, Peter, weren't you with him? Weren't you one of the followers? Oh, I'm not me. No. I'm not one of the followers of Christ. Peter was scared for his life and was not willing in that moment to give up his life or go to prison for Jesus. He was scared to death and he denied Christ 3 times, the Bible says. You think he felt like he failed his Savior? I mean, Peter watched Jesus perform miracle after miracle after miracle. He saw, he knew who Jesus was. He never doubted. He didn't doubt what Jesus could do or who he was. But in that moment, when he was scared for his life, he denied Jesus and was wounded. He was discouraged. Number one this morning, the Lord appears in our moments of discouragement. The Lord appears in our moments of discouragement. In those first five verses, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again. You see, Jesus doesn't give you one chance. He says, all right, if you don't listen, I'm done with you. It's over. Have you ever lost patience with your kid before? But then they were still your kid after they disobeyed, and they disobeyed again the second and the third time, and you were done. Get out. I remember growing up, and I was four. I think I was 4 years old. 4 years old. And I was the oldest, and I had two younger sisters, and I was messing with them and just destroying all their dollies and making my sisters cry and scream. And my mom just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, she was just, I remember my dad was at the church working. We lived on the church property. And I remember my dad was in his office, and my mom had told me, if you're not going to listen to me, then pack your bags and go. And I, you know, mom says so sometimes. You're like, you don't believe it. And I remember her saying that, and I still kept not obeying. I was only 4 years old, but I remember this day. And I'll tell you why, because I did it again. You know, my mom said, pack your bags right now. Take whatever you want. Get out of here. You don't want to obey the rules. If you're not going to obey the rules of this house, you're not going to live in this house. So pack up your suitcase. No, I'm going to obey the rules. Nope, pack. I already gave you a chance. Pack up your suitcase. Now get all your stuff. Pack it up. Put it in your bag. Get out of here. And I'm like, throw this in. I love you, Mom. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I don't even know where to go. I don't know where to get food. Well, you should have thought of this a long time ago. And I'm packing everything up, putting it in my bag. She said, zip it up. Go. Get out of here. And man, I remember leaving the house. And we lived, it had been like living in that building over there. And I had to walk across the whole parking lot. It was grass. I had to walk across the entire field to get to the road. And I remember just dragging my little suitcase across the field like this. And I got almost to the road. And my dad's office would have been kind of back where the nurseries were in this building. And he looked out the window and saw me walking, just carrying my bag like this. My mom was done with me. He comes out, AJ, what are you doing? And I said, Mom said I have to pack my bags and go live by myself. What is going on? I think he realized, like, what did you do to your mom? And my mom, when I came back, my mom was telling my dad all the different stuff. And guess what? I got in trouble with my dad. And I learned real quick, I better listen to her. But at the end of the day, I was still her kid. Man, she was frustrated with me. And we do some things we would quit on each other. You've had people, you've burned bridges on people in your life. You had a relationship with them at once. You did some things, relationship's ruined. Jesus, at any moment in your life, those things you've done, could have given up on you, could have quit on you. But this morning you're here in church because he was there in your worst day. And guess what? When your next worst day comes, he's going to be there again. He's going to be there, and he's going to give you the answers how to get yourself out of the mess that you've created for yourself. Because he just, the Bible says, showed himself again. He just shows up when you need him. I wish I did that as consistently as Jesus did. But disciples are confused. They're weary, unsure of their future. Jesus has died, but now Christ has risen. But they do not know yet what that means for them. Just because he's risen, they don't know. And Peter says, well, I'm going fishing. I don't know what else to do. I'm going fishing. I failed him and I messed up. I don't even know where else. I gave up everything to serve God and then I failed him. I'm going fishing. That's all I know what to do. And this may have been more than a casual trip. May have been Peter saying, I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to what I'm comfortable with, my old life. And I failed at being a disciple. I'm going back. Then he gets a night of empty nets. And the Bible says they caught nothing. I think that's a picture of spiritual dryness. I've seen many a Christian in my life. I've been coming to church since the day I was born. The next Sunday I was in church. And I've seen many a Christians in church, faithful, man, teaching a Sunday school class, doing incredible things for the Lord, but then went through a tough period in their life. Maybe they failed, they messed up, made a mistake, and they decided to go back to their old life. And I have not one story to tell you this morning of one person ever in my 36, almost 37 years of life that I can tell you, man, they went back to their old life. Somehow it worked out for them. I don't have one story to tell you this morning. I know Pastor doesn't have one story to tell you this morning, but I have a lot of stories to tell you of people who failed their Savior, just like you and just like me, and have messed up, but then Jesus restored them. And today they're serving the Lord. Today they may be sitting next to you in the pew. They may be teaching your kids today somewhere on the property, because God is a God of restoration and He will use you after you have failed Him. I have no idea why, but for some reason, the Lord appears in our moments of discouragement and they have empty nets. Jesus shows up on the shore. The Bible says He stood there on the shore. Disciples didn't go looking for Jesus. He went looking for them. And Peter was discouraged. How do we know he was discouraged? Well, he returned to his old habits. He isolated himself from purpose. He focused on his failure. He stopped looking ahead. Discouraged believers often do the same thing. They stop serving. They stop witnessing. They stop dreaming. They start living in the rearview mirror. Well, I used to do that. Man, I used to do that. Man, I used to become a used to Christian all of a sudden. And when life leaves you with empty nets and a discouraged heart, don't assume God has abandoned you. Peter did at first. You, I'm sure, have at first as well. But often the Lord is standing closer than you realize it, preparing to meet you in the very place where you failed Him. The very place where you failed Him. Number two tonight, or this morning, the Lord still has supernatural provision for failed disciples. For failed disciples. There are people living in our community today who feel like their life is as a failed disciple. They were in church. If everybody in this community who used to come to church at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, who used to teach a Sunday school class, who used to serve the Lord, was sitting in church today, we couldn't seat everybody. We'd have to knock out all those walls. We'd have to add a ton more pews. But many people, in a moment like Peter was faced here, did not handle it the right way. Did not trust their Savior. When they got discouraged, when they felt like quitting, when they felt like giving up, they didn't trust Jesus. They didn't throw their nets on the other side. The Lord still has supernatural provision for failed disciples. Obedience turns emptiness into abundance. Someone once said this: without Him, we can do nothing, but with Him, we cannot fail. Simple statement, but a powerful truth. Without Him, we can do nothing, but with Him, we cannot fail. You see, John recognized Jesus before Peter did. The Bible says in verse number seven there, it says, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord." Hey, Peter, it is the Lord. He's right there. John's like reminding Peter, showing Peter wasn't looking for the Savior. He was discouraged. When someone's discouraged, they're usually not walking around like this. Man, what's going on? I'm excited. A discouraged fisherman is not like, well, let's cast over here. Let's keep going. Man, it's awesome. If you picture what Peter's mindset was and his physical appearance was, it was like your kid that just doesn't get the ice cream like they wanted. You know, just discouraged, upset, wasn't looking up. But John, the Bible says, one who loved Jesus, that Jesus loved, saw Jesus and tried to encourage Peter. And Peter runs to Jesus. This is what I'm talking about with Peter, man. As soon as he sees Jesus, boom, he's there. He's running. Going to him, getting to Jesus while the others are rowing. When Peter hears this, the Lord, he doesn't always do what he's supposed to do. But the others thought, hey, let's go to Jesus. Let's start rowing to Jesus. What does Peter do? He walks to Jesus. And Peter is someone who I think that as a Christian, man, we don't always make the right decisions. We fail. We get picked back up. We have to trust the Lord again. Man, He has to restore us again. And many of us have failed Him over and over again. And Peter reminds us that when you fail Him, Jesus will come to you again and remind you, hey, I didn't save a perfect sinner. I saved a horrible sinner. I saved someone who needed me as a sinner. And just because you're saved today does not mean you're perfect, does not mean you're going to make mistakes. I expect you to make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, do you learn from those mistakes? Do you run to your Savior? Do you trust Him even more in those moments? Peter runs to Jesus, and this man who thinks he's disqualified, yet the moment he sees Jesus, he doesn't run from Him, he runs to Him. Our greatest failures are never bigger than God's ability to provide. Sometimes we forget how big He is. When we stop trusting our own strength and simply obey His voice, the Lord can turn seasons of emptiness into seasons of abundance. Number three this morning, the Lord invites us to renew fellowship before renewing service. You see, at one point in your life, you may be serving the Lord, doing something for Him. And then you fail and you go backwards in your life and you're out of the service of the Lord. Maybe that's you this morning. And before He puts him back into service, back to doing what He had called him to do originally, He renews fellowship with him first. Go to verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Man, what a great way to get things right with a friend. Just go to breakfast together, go to lunch together, go to dinner together. He invites Peter to come and dine with him. And none of the disciples durst after him. Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus saith, then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Before Jesus deals with Peter's failures, before Jesus calls Peter back into the ministry, before Jesus restores his purpose, he feeds him breakfast. He feeds him breakfast. He fellowships with him. Jesus is saying, let's restore fellowship before we restore your function. Let's restore fellowship with you before I put you back into service. Let's get your spirit back to where it needs to be. I'm not going to put you back to where you need to be until your fellowship with me as your Savior is back to where it needs to be. You see, because when you get away from the Lord and you're going backwards, your fellowship and your relationship with your Savior is not where it needs to be. Your attitude's not where it needs to be. Your spirit's not where it needs to be. There's some things that need to be fixed that you and I need to examine and own up to it and say, I failed you and I'm failing you in these areas right here. And I need to get these areas right so that I can be used of you, Lord. So that I can be used of you. God always mends the heart before He mobilizes our hands. Many Christians struggle with guilt. Many Christians struggle with guilt. But before Jesus asks Peter, He says this. He says, lovest thou me? Before He even asked Peter that question, He'd already forgiven him. But He asks him, lovest thou me, Peter? He knew Peter loved him. Just because you don't or do something you shouldn't do and you fail your Savior doesn't mean you don't love Him. But our actions a lot of times can be in question, can question that love. Your actions in your marriage can question your love for your spouse. If you never do anything for your spouse, never tell your spouse you love them, never there for them, never help them with anything, your love can be questioned, right? Are we just two acquaintances living together? Like, you don't do anything for me. You don't even tell me you love me. But Jesus had already seen a ton of things that Peter had done to prove that Peter loved him. But He asked that question, lovest thou me? God is more interested in your relationship with Him than your work for Him. Before He's going to use you, He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to Him on a daily basis. And fellowship with Christ must always come before our service for Christ. I enjoy every opportunity I get to serve the Lord. I love it. Any opportunity I get, it's fun. How many enjoy serving your Savior? Raise your hand. I don't know about you, but my happiest moments are not when I'm on the sidelines doing nothing for Him. And if there's something going on at church, from the time I was born, we were at the church doing it. And we were one of the last people at the church doing it all the time. And I loved it. I grew up loving being on the church property, because anything the church was doing 90% of the time, 95% of the time, was on the church property. And I didn't want to hear about it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear about it. I wanted to be there. I didn't want to hear 37 people got saved at VBS. Man, I want to be there and see young kids accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to see God's Spirit moving up. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Man, I want to be here every time the presence of the Lord is here and something is going on. Number four, the Lord restores us by dealing with the root of failure. The Lord restores us by dealing with the root of failure. Go to verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith in him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith in him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith in him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. After breakfast, Jesus turns to Peter in one of the most tender scenes, I believe, in Scripture. And Peter, Peter denied him three times. And Jesus asked Peter three times, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Christ deals with him first personally. And Jesus doesn't call him Peter. What does he call him? Simon. Why does he call him Simon? I believe because he's digging down to the foundation again. So he deals with him personally, and then he deals with him lovingly. Jesus never says, Peter, why did you deny me? Or why did you fail me? Why did you do that? How could you do that? He doesn't respond like that to Peter. Instead, he says, lovest thou me? I mean, that's like, whew. Hearing Jesus say that after everything he did for you, that's all Jesus had to say to him to just break him. He didn't have to yell at him, didn't have to scream at him. Jesus doesn't shame Peter. He shepherds him. He shepherds him. And then Christ deals with Peter publicly. Everybody heard what Peter did. Remember, Peter was a leader, man. He was one of the disciples. And then he denied Jesus three times. You think word like that spread around? Oh, yeah. They knew. They knew. And so in the eyes of the other disciples and the other people, Peter's status of leadership went way down. Somebody had to restore that back. There's only one person who could do that, and his name was Jesus. His name was Jesus, was the only person who could restore that leadership in the eyes of the people. And publicly, the other disciples are upset at Peter. They don't respect him for what he did, but Jesus deals with him publicly and restores him publicly and forgives him publicly and wants to use him. He says that phrase, feed my sheep. Who's the sheep? Us. We're the sheep. Feed my sheep. Go take care of my sheep. Go take care of other Christians. Help other Christians. Encourage other Christians. Be a leader to those other Christians. He immediately tells him to go help people. I'm going to use you again. Now go help them. Go help these other sheep. Go help these other people that are serving the Lord. I want to use you again. Peter no longer trusts his own heart. He trusts Jesus' knowledge of his heart. He says, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus knew he loved him, and Jesus wanted to forgive him. You see, spiritual maturity is reached not when we trust ourselves more, but when we trust ourselves less and trust Christ entirely. Entirely. One of the most powerful details in chapter 21 here is the fire, okay? Peter denied Jesus beside the fire, but then Jesus restores Peter beside the fire in chapter 21. So chapter 18 is when Peter denies him by the fire, and then Jesus restores him by the fire in John chapter 21. You see, the very place where you fail him is the place where he wants to restore you. He wants to take you to that place of where you failed him and reminds you, I know you did this, but I can lift you back up. I can take you back where you need to be. I can get you back in the will of God. Just trust me. Stop beating yourself up. Stop saying you can't, you can't, you can't. I know you can't, but with me, you can. I can use you to do things you don't think you can do. Many of the people in this room are people across our property today that are doing things for the Lord today, serving him in whatever capacity it could be. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, would have told you they would never have thought they could have done that. Been scared to death to do it. But with their Savior's help, they're doing what they are today because of him. And they realize it. Because they realize in that moment, I wasn't, yeah, I want to be that person that does that. I want to be up in front of people. I want to do this. I want to speak in front of people. Well, I want to preach. No, I talked to Brother Joseph this morning. How'd it go in Sunday school? I think it went good. I don't know. I think so. And I said, I'm sure it went great. And he's like, I was a little nervous. You think that's something he enjoyed? Like, man, this is the thing that I've been wanting to do since the time I was born. Get up in front of people and preach from the Bible. It's a scary thing to get up in front of people and preach the Bible. But with the Lord's help, the Lord's directing, God can do some things with you that you never envisioned for yourself. Amen. And what God did with Peter's life after this moment is something special. It's incredible. Number five tonight, the Lord recommissions us to greater purpose. Instead of discarding Peter, Jesus recommissions him. And he says, feed my sheep, not fish, sheep, not boats, believers, not boats, but nations. And this failed fisherman, this failed disciple becomes a foundational apostle that we have heard a ton of messages on that have helped us in our life. But this particular moment in Peter's life is not one that he's proud of. He's not proud of failing his Savior, not proud of denying his Savior, but many people will never preach, but everyone can serve. Are you open to that this morning? Are you open to serving God wherever he has wants you to serve? Many Christians across America, churches shut down ministries all across America because they don't have enough people to run them. They don't have enough Sunday school teachers. They can't put a lot on the calendar because the pastor can't do everything. So you go to a lot of churches in America and they have nothing really going on because the people in the pew are that, just sitting in the pew doing nothing for their Savior. Or they're beating themselves up with the failed mistakes they've made in their life and I can't do anything. So we have a whole crowd of people that show up to church, hear preaching, that's good preaching, amen, preacher, and then do nothing with it. This morning I'm asking you, if you have failed your Savior, can you just trust him and see what he has in store for your future? Can you just allow him to just have control over tomorrow and the next day and the things that you don't know what he has in store for you? Just let him do it. Step out on faith and say, Lord, I don't know what you have, but I'm just going to step out there and trust you. I'm just going to trust that you're going to take care of me. I'm going to trust that you're going to supply my needs. I'm going to trust that you're going to supply my finances when I'm stepping out on faith to do this. Can you trust your Savior this morning? I don't know what the mistakes each and every one of you have. I've heard some, but I don't know all of them. And honestly, nobody knows all of them except for you and your Savior. You're the only two people that know that. And man, you could spend the rest of your life beating yourself up for what you've done. It's time to move forward. Let the Lord restore you to a greater purpose. Not everyone is called to preach. Not everybody's called to do a Sunday school lesson. Not everybody's called to get up in front of everybody. There's a lot of small things at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that get done by people that just say, I just want to be a servant. I just want to be used. Lord, however you want to use me, I'll start at the ground level. Just use me however. If the toilets need clean, I'll clean the toilets. If something needs swept, I'll go clean that. If someone needs to clean the buses out because kids are on there every single week and make a mess and there's trash everywhere and they spill drinks, I'll go clean the bus. I will do whatever you want for me. Peter's failure didn't disqualify him. It prepared him for what God had him for him in his future. How many have ever broken a bone before? You've broken a bone? I've broken one. My dad's broken like over 20 bones in his life. But they say that if you break a bone and it heals properly, that that bone can be stronger than it was before. How many knew that before? Okay. It can be stronger. I know there's, I can't remember if it's jujitsu or martial arts that where they've got exercises where they will just hit their shins to build strength because the little stress fractures that that shin has, it's constantly getting built and becomes stronger time after time. When we get broken as a Christian, man, we feel like we can't be used for the Savior. Peter's story here is a reminder that I've got even better things for you now. Now that you're wounded, I'm going to use you to help other wounded people. You see, someone who's been wounded can understand somebody else who's been wounded like them. Someone else who's been discouraged like them, they can help them in a way that somebody else can't. God had to bring that person through something so they could be used to help that particular person. I've seen God do some things with people who just recently started coming to church. And man, they went through a lot in their life and just terrible things, but they got saved and they started moving forward in their life and God started blessing them. And then someone else came to church who dealt with the exact same things. And then the pastor or somebody said, hey, could you help them? Oh, I'm still learning myself. Can't you at least help them get to where you were right now? Oh yeah, I could tell them what I did. I could tell them what the Savior did for me. I could tell them what pastor did for me. I could tell them what the scriptures did for me. I could tell them what Bible verses I read that helped me. I could at least do that. Can you do that? Can you do that? Here's what A.W. Tozer said. He said, before God uses a man greatly, he must wound him deeply. When you get wounded, though, is it just quitting time for you? Is it giving up time? Or is it time to say, somehow, some way, God's going to use this down the road. I don't know what it's going to be for, but I'm going to use it. Pastor got wounded with his cancer. He's been using it for the Lord. People from all over the country have been calling him, messaging him, and have been encouraged. Everywhere I go, people talk about him and how he just keeps going on flow. He could have quit. Our pastor could have quit. Got cancer. I can't be here anymore. I'm sorry, but you're all going to have to figure it out on your own. I'm thankful we have a pastor as a leader in front of us who said, hey, this is trying to slow me down, but I'm going to keep going forward. I don't know what tomorrow holds. He said this morning, I don't know what this body's going to do tomorrow or the next day. I just, whatever I'm given with, I'm just going to go forward with it. I'm thankful for that testimony we have here in our own church for our pastor. And God used Peter to do some great things. Christ called Peter to a faithful service for him. And he didn't call Peter so that others could compare to one another. Some of the disciples didn't fail Jesus like Peter did. But John and Peter and all, he wasn't wanting them to compare. Hey, I did this. I didn't do this. I did that. He says this to verse number 22. Go to verse number 22. It says, Jesus saith unto him, go to verse 21. Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that ye tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus is saying, you don't need to worry what my plans are for someone else. Worry about what my plans are for you. And trust me along the way that I'm going to use you. Stop looking at other people and what they've done, what they haven't done, and comparing yourself to them. Just trust my plan for you. I'm glad that we serve a God who's a God that helps restore broken people. Because this world is full of them. This church is full of them. John 21 is the story of a discouraged disciple, a painful failure. There's in Japan, there's this, it's called Kusuji, I think it's called Kusuji art form that they do over there. What it is they take broken pottery and they mend it all together with gold. Have you ever heard of that before? And it's all, they don't hide the cracks. They don't hide the imperfections. It's highlighted with the gold. And that pottery becomes more valuable once they restore it back together than it was before it was broken. Man, that's what Jesus does with you. That's what Jesus does with me, is when he restores us, man, now we are better vessel for him. We're a better tool for him to be able to use that we couldn't be used before, because he had to teach us some things. He had to show grace to us when we needed it more than any other time. On our worst day, Jesus had to show up for us. The question is not whether Jesus will show up. He will show up for you. The question is, will you trust him like Peter did? Will you get on your knees and just say, I'm sorry, please forgive me? He's going to forgive you. That's already been told. That's already been promised. He will forgive you and he wants to restore you. Stop beating yourself up. Stop telling yourself you can't, because look what God did. Peter was the one who, after this, he preached and 3,000 were saved. I'm talking about the man who denied Jesus 3 times, okay? That man. Afterwards, when Jesus restored him, he preached and 3,000 were saved. He healed the lame man. Peter opened the gospel door to the Gentiles. Peter wrote 2 books of the Bible. He preached at Pentecost. He becomes a pillar of the early church, and he dies courageously for Christ. How many want that testimony? That's a testimony right there. I'm sorry, but all of that overshadows the little thing that he did when he denied Christ. When we hear the story of the life of Peter, that's not what I think about. Man, I think of all the great things that Peter did in his life. But this chapter right here reminds me of when I fail him. And when I do some things in my life that I know I shouldn't have done, that are against the Bible, my relationship with him isn't where it needs to be. Man, I haven't been spending as much time with my Savior. Instead of just going backwards in my life and going back to an old life or going backwards, I want to look to Peter's life and say, man, if God can do that with him, I need to get my life back on track. Lord, what do I got to do? I want to be used to you. I don't have the power of you. I don't have your hand of power on my life like I once had before. Lord, help get me back to where I need to be. Lord, I want to serve you again. My dad said this, and I'm done. He said, failure is an event in the life of a believer. It is never the identity of the believer. I'm going to read it again. I want you to think maybe yourself, you failed. If you listen to this, failure is an event in the life of a believer. It is never the identity of a believer. Which Peter are you today? Are you a Peter in the courtyard ashamed, or Peter in the boat discouraged? Are you a Peter by the fire being restored, or Peter at Pentecost serving with power? Where are you? I just want to tell you this morning, the Savior is waiting by the shore this morning. Yes. He's waiting, he's there, and he's saying to you, come and dine. Lovest thou me? Follow thou me? Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. He's not done writing your story this morning. I said this morning in Sunday school, those mistakes, things you've done, it's just a small chapter of the story he's writing in your life. And the story needs to end in a good way. I love a story that ends in a good way. And I love reading a testimony, a documentary of somebody who served our Savior, who finished strong, who finished right. We only get one life to live down here. And I'm thankful for a Savior that will keep picking us up when we mess up, keep picking us up and keep restoring us and still use it. He could sit us on the sideline. He could say, you messed up. I'm done with you. I've got no use for you. I've lost patience with you. That's what we would do. That's what I would do. That's what you would do with me, is we would lose patience with one another and give up. But Jesus restored Peter, and I promise you, he'll restore you. If you still have breath today, he still has purpose for you. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much, Lord, for patience, grace, mercy, Lord, that you show upon us. Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I fail you in my life, and I'm sorry for when I may lead others astray with my bad example, Lord. Lord, I pray in my short life that I live and the life that I have left, Lord, I pray that I would just look to Peter's life, Lord, and remind myself of what you can and will do for me when I'm discouraged, when I'm down and out, when I've failed you many, many times, Lord, I pray that I'd pick myself back up and look to you for guidance and help and trust you all along the way and know that eventually, if I restore fellowship with you and get my life where it needs to be, you will use me again, Lord. I pray for anyone that's here today, Lord, that they would have that. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, Lord, I pray that you would just talk to them, soften their heart this morning to get saved. We've got people here, Lord, that will show them from the Bible how they can know for sure they're going to heaven when they die.